Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a low-end pressure jungle air horn hit in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're arranging it like a real DNB weapon, not just tossing in a random hype sample. Now, when I say air horn, don't think of it as a joke sound or a one-bar gimmick. In jungle, rollers, darker dance floor, and neuro-leaning tracks, this kind of hit works like a call and response marker. It can announce a switch, create tension before a drop, cut through busy drums, and inject attitude without needing a full melody. That's the vibe we want here. Because this is a vocals lesson, we're treating the horn like a vocal phrase. So even if your source is a brass stab or a vocal shout, the mindset stays the same. This is a voice in the arrangement. It should talk back to the drums and bass. First, choose a source that already has some bite in the midrange. A short vocal shout, a rough brass stab, or a jungle-style air horn sample all work well. If you're starting from a vocal, something vowel-heavy like yeah, oi, or hey can be surprisingly effective once it's processed. Keep it short and punchy. In most cases, you're aiming somewhere around 150 milliseconds to maybe 700 milliseconds, depending on whether it's a sharp drop accent or a longer pre-drop teaser. Once you have the source, clean it up before you start getting fancy. Trim the silence tightly so the transient speaks immediately. If the beginning is soft, adjust the clip start or use a tiny fade-in only if needed. If it's vocal-like, simpler in classic mode is a great way to isolate the strongest syllable. For sharper rhythmic chops, beats mode can work too. The big thing here is precision. In drum and bass, the arrangement moves fast, so a sloppy start time can make the whole moment feel weak. Now let's build the horn chain using stock Ableton devices. A solid starting chain is a Q8, saturator, compressor or glue compressor, auto filter, reverb, and echo. Start by high-passing the horn somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it stays out of the sub-region. If it needs more presence, give it a small boost in the 1.5 to 3.5 kHz area. If it feels harsh, try a narrow cut around 2.5 to 4.5 kHz. Then add a little saturator drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, with soft clip on if the sound needs to be kept in check. Use compression lightly, just enough to control the impact and keep it stable. Then use auto filter, reverb, and echo as movement tools rather than permanent wash. The key is to keep this aggressive but not huge. The horn should live above the sub and between the snare and bass harmonics. If it takes up too much low end, the whole track will feel muddy fast. Now the next step is what really makes this feel like a vocal phrase instead of a stag stab. Use automation or clip envelopes to make the horn move over time. You can automate volume, filter cutoff, reverb send, or delay throw. A classic move is to hit hard on beat 1, then bring in a quieter echo later in the bar. Or maybe you open the filter slightly across one bar so the sound becomes brighter and more urgent as it repeats. Tiny moves matter a lot in DNB. Short automation gestures over a half bar or one bar often feel more intentional than huge obvious sweeps. Think in phrases. For example, in a two-bar jungle idea, you might place the horn on bar 1 beat 1. Let the bass answer after that. Repeat the horn on bar 2 beat 1 with a slightly brighter tone, and then leave a little delay tail or vocal chop at the end of bar 2 to lead into the next section. That's call and response. That's the language of this style. Now let's make the horn feel bigger without just stacking more low end under it. Don't pile up extra sub, because that will just fight the bass line. Instead, add a companion layer that gives character in the mids and upper lows. This could be a second copy pitched up or down in simpler, a breathy vocal layer, a short Reese-like texture, or even a noise burst shaped with auto filter and saturator. High pass that layer around 200 to 350 Hz so it doesn't crowd the bottom. If the main horn stays centered, you can spread the supporting layer a little left or right for width. Keep the important impact mono compatible. This is where the arrangement starts doing some of the heavy lifting. Don't rely on the horn alone to sound enormous. You can fake a much bigger moment by changing the drum context around it. If the horn lands, maybe you remove a kick, mute a hat, thin out a ghost note, or let the break briefly open up before the hit. The ear reads that as power. In jungle especially, that conversational break rhythm makes the horn feel like part of the groove instead of a random insert. Next, build the bass response. This is crucial. The horn won't feel truly powerful unless the bass answers it in a smart way. Let the bass drop in after the horn, or open a re-stab, or create a small movement in the next beat. Use operator for a clean sub, wave eatable for a res or growl layer, and keep the sub mono with utility. The sub should mostly stay below 100 Hz, while the horn owns the mid-range punch. If the horn feels buried, it might not be the horn's fault. Sometimes it's the bass harmonics sitting too loudly in the same range. Pull those back and the horn suddenly jumps forward. Now automate the transition like a proper DJ-friendly arrangement tool. This is where the horn stops being just a sound and becomes part of the structure of the track. Automate auto-filter cutoff for opening tension. Automate reverb send so the tail can bloom before a drop and then snap dry again. Automate echo feedback for a throw or a short trail. Use volume to create mini dropouts. Use saturator drive if you want the final hit to bite harder than the rest. A really useful pattern is to keep the first few bars dry and tight, then gradually open the filter, then bring up reverb and delay near the end of the phrase, and finally hit a bigger, brighter version right before the next section. Leave some breathing room after that. In a DJ mix, space is valuable. If the horn is shouting every bar, it loses power. The best jungle hooks tease. Once the chain feels right, print it. Resample the processed horn to audio. This is a huge workflow move because it lets you commit to the attitude and makes the sound easier to arrange. Chop the best transient. Reverse a tail if you want a creepy inhale effect, or duplicate the hit and pitch one copy slightly up or down. Then do a light cleanup pass if needed with EQ8 or glue compressor. Resampling turns the sound into a reusable arrangement tool instead of a live chain you keep tweaking forever. Always check the horn in the actual track, not just soloed. Listen with full drums, active bass, and any vocals or atmosphere layers that are already in the mix. Do a mono check with utility. Make sure nothing below 120 or 150 Hz is cluttering the hit. Listen for harshness in the 2 to 5 kHz zone. If it's getting masked, try a little volume automation. Shorten the reverb, or reduce competing bass harmonics. If it feels too thin, add a touch more saturation or layer in a whisper, shout, or parallel copy with light compression. A few common mistakes to watch for. Don't make the horn too low-heavy. Don't let reverb swallow the hit. Don't place it where the drums are already too full. Don't stack too many layers in the same frequency zone. And don't use it just as decoration. Treat it like a structural marker. Intro cue. Drop tag. Switch up. Or response line. Here's a really solid advanced trick. Split the horn into a dry punch and an effect shadow. Keep one version centered, short, and upfront. Then make a second version wider, more filtered, and delay heavy. Bring that second layer in only at phrase endings or breakdown edges. You can also make the response darker or brighter by pitching the second hit slightly up or down. That gives you a real call and response relationship, not just a repeat. Another great move is to use silence strategically. Even a short gap before the horn lands can make it feel much bigger. Pull down a pad, thin the break, or drop the bass for a fraction of a bar before the hit. The listener's ear leans forward, and then the horn lands with way more impact. For your practice exercise, build a four-bar horn phrase. Find one vocal-like source, shape it with EQ8, saturator, and auto-filter, and place the horn on bar 1 beat 1 and bar 3 beat 1. Let the filter open slightly to cross the four bars. Add one echo throw on the last hit only. Then create a bass response after each horn hit using operator or wave editable. Resample the result. Compare the original and printed versions, and do a mono check. If something feels messy, revise just one thing, like timing, tone, or space. The big idea here is simple. In D&B, the horn is not just an effect. It's arrangement language. It tells the listener when to pay attention. It creates contrast. It gives your track identity. And when you place it with intention, it can do the work of a transition, a hype vocal, and a drop marker all at once. So keep it tight, keep the low end clean, make the drums and bass respond, and use automation like a storyteller. That's how you turn a jungle air horn into a serious Ableton Live 12 arrangement tool.